For WKU Public Radio and NPR One, I'm Lamont Jack Pearly, and this is the African American Folklorist. If you follow the show, platform, or social media accounts, then you may know my saying, hip-hop is the great-great-great-grandchild of the blues. Well, I'll take it a step further and say, the legends of yesterday are reflected in today's musicians, songsters, and bluesmen. As we continue our interview series recorded at the W.C. Handy Blues and Barbecue Festival in Henderson, I speak with Eric Gales, whose style and flair bridges the gap between generations, all while standing on strong principles.
We are sitting here with blues royalty on so many levels because a lot of people do not connect the black culture of today with the blues, but we have a brother here who is that connection. Mr. Eric Gales, talk to us, sir.
Hey, man, how you doing, man? It's, like I said a minute ago, it's a real honor, and I'm very privileged to be a part of this platform, and, you know, this is beautiful, man. After a year and some change with no resolve in sight, you know, depression, destitution, all kinds of things, death, and, you know, just sickness and famine and everything, you know, to be here, able to sit here with you, you know, with some sort of normalcy, I can see it in the sights, you know what I mean? It's a real blessing to be able to sit here now.
Absolutely. So let's talk about the connection you are of the real blues and the modern, or at least the recent black culture, right? Because you, as we would say, where I come from, you hood. And I don't think a lot of people make that correlation, that connection. Could you talk to us about that?
Man, okay, so I am the youngest brother of five, and all of my family was playing music way before I came. I came 10 years late, so it was all, I got uncles, cousins, aunties, grandfather, grandmother, all of is involved with music some kind of way, be it gospel or whatever. So, you know, with that being said, this whole culture thing, you know, let me set this precedence first. Early traditional blues music and early traditional gospel, music-wise, is the exact same thing. The only difference is one has biblical words and the other has, as my folks used to call it, worldly words. But the passion, the emotion, the feelings that it take you throughout the whole song is the same similar feeling. Very, very similar. So with that being said, you know, there was a culture, yeah, that was like back in the day. Back in the day, man, damn, if you see old pictures of some of the old blues pioneers, they were dressed and swagged out. They were the 1920s and 1930s of like 2021 is of 2021.
Okay.
So I sit here in front of you with a big chain on, nice little gold pieces and golds in my mouth. Like, I believe this is where, because there was no hip hop, there was no rap or nothing like that, or R&B was soul. But I'm talking about in the 20s and the 30s, it was none of that. So they were the swagged out, cute looking people that they were, just like the generation is of today. So there is one sort of, I'm putting this bridge together. That's part of the bridge right there. So expression, talking about things that they've been through and things that they've seen, is the exact same thing that the true genuine rap artists are doing too. Talking about what they see in the hood. Like, most of this is stuff that they done lived, that they're currently living in while signed to a record label. You know what I'm saying? Because once you get caught up in the street life, it's very hard to leave that mentality and switch it over to the music industry. Let me tell you this. You're very poised for it because the music industry is far more treacherous than the dope game. Mm. I said something just then.
No, you said a lot.
So you already prepared if you've been in the dope game and you've been in the criminalism. And you still ain't 100% prepared to step into the music world because it makes the dope game look like crap. So there's another part of the gap that I'm bridging with this culture thing. And basically, man, you know, there is, I believe, no other genre or style of music that would exist if were not for blues and gospel. Why I say gospel, the feeling, the passion that you get out of it. And that's how I'm pulling together the truth, the feeling, the passion. Today's R&B, such as artists like her or Jasmine Sullivan or all them, passion, move you the same way. So, like, I think that the way that it's coming and how it's surfacing, you know, it's not only, you know, the last breed of who left is Buddy Guy, Robert Cray, you know, and Bobby Rush. The last one, everybody else done passed on.
Yeah.
Now, I'm in between that. So, like, the generation of today is supposed to be able to capitalize off of being influenced by the people I was influenced by. Just like I took on the people that I was influenced by and picked up who they were influenced by. It's evolution. It's supposed to be that way. I say that to say that because my nephew, Kingfish, is following, right? It's passing along really, really good.
Yeah, that's my guy right there.
Yeah, so, you know, I think it's in really good hands, and I don't think, you know, it has had his waves up and down, but, you know, I have a particular liking to several different styles of music. So what you will always hear and whatever that I will present is going to be a at core base of gospel and blues oriented vibe that's in it.
Okay.
I will span from R&B, soul, pop, rock, classical, funk, jazz, all throughout a 90-minute set. Well, but what you find, I give you a whole buffet. And I can't help it because I like everything. So, you know, but what's the core ingredient that you see in it all is the blues, gospel, passion, and feeling that's there. And I think that that's what's taking a lot of old-time fans of mine and newcomer fans. They're like, yo, man, how he put all that together like that? I can't tell you how it happened. It just organically happened. You know what I mean?
You made a few public addresses mm-hmm. how black blues and black rock coming from a black guitarist. Mm-hmm. Could you talk to us about that statement and why?
Sure. I'm glad you asked me that question because here is maybe I'm going to try to give it to you in the most understood way possible. Because there are some and quite a few that actually got an excuse because they don't know. And also because how systematically the schooling system has been, it has been taught stuff that is not true. Case in point, why do I not remember the Tulsa bombings not being told to me in junior high school, high school? How is it that I did not know that? Let's put it like this. So here is why I made this statement, and then what has happened within this last year, some change, George Floyd and all that stuff, it just brought to surface something that's been there.
Right, right.
It's been there. It, you know, what number 45 did, I will give him credit because he brought him out to where you can visibly see them. Right. It made them more bold. Not that they needed to be because they've been bolding in your face with slavery and all of that since day one. How much bolder can you get to come to this place and call it yours when somebody was already there when you came? The Native Americans was already here. How did you discover America? How did you discover something that already had habitat on it? That's as bold as it gets.
Yes, sir.
Then to go so far and then kill them. Yeah. And the ones you didn't kill, you made them work for you. That's bold. So I don't see no room for where you to be able to get. I don't see how you can get any more bolder than when I said he just got them bold now.
Yeah.
So with that being said, here is something that unfortunately, the death of a young man, why it was particularly his death, because that ain't the first time that didn't happen to somebody.
No. Actually, he was like the sixth or seventh death within the last little couple of months span.
Yeah, so let's go to that, the ones we know about, not think about the ones that we don't even know about.
Yes, sir.
That Daylon got away with.
Yes, sir.
That they still got away with, and it was video footage of.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I had to just put on the wood, man. You know what? It's some things that has been happening, you know, and I'm part Cherokee Indian and I'm black. So, you know, that's two races right there that had it hard. Like, we think about how hard blacks had it, Native Americans had it, so I got a double chain across my neck, you know what I'm saying? More than I think. So, I just felt like the need, I was making a comment about something on, and this is what sparked the whole thing. The whole, that time that anchor lady told LeBron to shut up and dribble.
Exactly.
Bro, it's the same thing. Somebody in a comment of something that I was saying, somebody said, just shut up and play. Okay.
That's what I thought. All right.
All right. So now I got to address what you just said. That's what made me put this post up, and it got shared and liked over a million plus something times. I'm a man. I'm a black man first. I'm a guitar player second. If you don't care about the first, I can give a damn about what you think about the second. So here's the other thing as black artists. All the way back, this is how we have gotten a pass. It's because of the skill. Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf, even all the way back, B.B. King, all of those, Aretha Franklin, all of them had to deal with playing in places that they couldn't even stay at. Playing in places that they couldn't even eat at. And the reason that they got a pass is because there was something that the supposedly superior liked about what it is that we do.
Right.
If it weren't for that, and I walked by you on the street and asked you what time it was, you wouldn't answer me.
Right.
So I began to think more in depth about it. Eric, you got to look at this situation without a guitar player. Like, people got to be able to respect you as a black man first.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to listen to our second episode of my interview with Eric Gales. For WKU Public Radio and NPR One, I'm Lamont Jack Perley.